As we step into worship tonight, I invite you to join me in prayer. Gracious God, we praise you for creating this world in all its beauty, for redeeming the world through Christ our Lord, and for sending us the gift of your Spirit to encourage, instruct, and sustain us each day. We long now for your Spirit to move among us here in this place, to inspire our praise, to draw us closer to you in prayer, to challenge us with your truth, to feed us at your table, and to equip us for service in your world. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The God who is Lord over all the earth is also here in this place this evening, And he greets you with these words, "Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, through the mighty and transforming work of his Holy Spirit." Amen. Amen. We welcome all of you to worship here this evening at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you're watching online, we're delighted that you're part of our worshiping community this evening. Often this summer with our guest pastors, we have welcomed guest pastors, but tonight I welcome someone who really isn't a guest. So Stan, thanks for being in the pulpit tonight, our minister of missions, and we look forward to the word that God has laid on your heart. As we think about reaching the lost as our theme tonight, we turn for an affirmation of faith to two parts from Our World Belongs to God, and you need to take the hymnal out for this. We'll read it responsively from number 263 in Lift Up Your Hearts. 263, this comes from stanzas 41 and 42 of Our World Belongs to God. I invite you to join me on the bold print. Joining the mission of God, the church is sent with the gospel of the kingdom
to call everyone to know and follow Christ and to proclaim to all the assurance that in the name of Jesus there is forgiveness of sin and new life for all who repent and believe.
The Spirit calls all members
to embrace God's mission in their neighborhoods and in the world,
to feed the hungry, bring water to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and free the prisoner.
We repent of leaving this work to a few, for this mission is central to our being.
In a world estranged from God, where happiness and peace are offered in many names, and millions face confusing choices,
we witness with respect for followers of other ways to the only one in whose name salvation is found, Jesus Christ. In Jesus, God reconciles the world to himself. God loves all creation. His compassion knows no bounds.
Thank you.
Before we go to our time of prayer tonight, just a reminder that if you ever have a prayer request you would like prayed for by the prayer team, you can fill that out at any time. Those are on the pew racks, the back side of the sermon note cards. You can fill it out, drop it into the wood box at the back of the narthex at the Welcome Center. The prayer team loves receiving those, and they keep those confidential. For our prayer tonight, we will continue that theme of reaching the lost. And to do that, we will be assisted by the refrain that's found in the order of worship, words that come from Psalm 88. In that psalm, the psalmist was struggling with many things, and yet he knew to who he was praying, the God of his salvation, the God who saves. So we'll let that assist us in our prayer tonight. We'll sing it a few times during the prayer, and we'll begin our time of prayer in song. We thank you for your greatest gift, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection opened the way for people to be saved. We thank you for all those who already know Jesus as their Lord and pray that we would continue to grow deeper in our faith each day. However, we also lament the number of people in this world who do not know Christ as Savior. We think of unreached people groups who have few Christians or Christian churches in their group, or perhaps even none at all, groups where the majority of people are following another religion. We pray for these people, O God, that you would break down the devotion that exists to other religions, that you would destroy any false ideas about Jesus and Christianity, while also softening hearts the truth of the gospel. We pray that you would protect people from demonic powers that keep them in bondage, and instead open doors for Christian missionaries to spread the good news. And we pray, too, that you would help believers that do exist in these groups to be strong in their faith, even in the face of persecution. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, as we continue to think about unreached people groups, we pray that you would overcome barriers that stand in the way of their salvation. We pray that you would break down the barriers of language, ethnicity, and culture, as well as the challenge that comes with people living in remote areas. We pray, too, that you would change the hearts of government leaders who do not permit missionaries in their countries. Father, we also pray tonight that you would open the way for people to have your word in their own language. We think especially of the work of Wycliffe and our own missionaries, Chris and Rebecca Hurt and Corey and Amy Havlicek, that their ministries would bear much fruit in spreading your word. God of all creation, we also confess this evening our own part in hindering the work of the gospel. Forgive us, Lord, for apathy and lack of interest we show at times, for the occasions when we have not been generous with our resources, and for thoughts of superiority that have crept into our thinking. Father, we also seek your mercy for our inward focus, both in our individual lives and in the life of your church, and for the times we have failed to pray for the unreached. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of our salvation, we also pray tonight for specific unreached people groups. We pray for the 4.5 million Banjar people in Indonesia who are very devoted to Islam and who shun anyone who becomes a Christian for the rest of their lives. We also pray for the 12 million Dobi people in India who are Hindu, the 31.5 million Burmese people in Myanmar who are Buddhist, and the over 100,000 Afghani people here in the United States. Father, we pray for wisdom and creativity in developing strategies to reach these groups. We pray for a softening of hearts for people in them, and we pray for a mighty moving of your Spirit that many of these people would surrender their hearts and lives to Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we close our prayer tonight with a reminder from Jesus that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Lord of the harvest, send more workers into the harvest field. We ask all these things in his name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good evening. We turn now to the Word of God. We'll be reading from Romans chapter 15. Let's pause and ask God's blessing upon his Word. Lord, you have revealed yourself in so many ways through all the works of your hands, most especially by sending your own Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to be our Savior. And we thank you that you have inspired people to put into writing your word and that we can read it to understand better your ways and your will for our lives. And so we pray that you will truly speak to us from your word this evening and open our hearts, our minds, and our lives to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll be reading from Romans chapter 15. Verses 17 to 25, found on page 1765 in the Pew Bibles. Just a few background notes before we read this passage. Romans was not the first letter that Paul wrote. We might think it was because it appears first, but he wrote several letters before writing to the Romans, and he wrote this letter most likely from Corinth as he was coming to the end of his third missionary journey and was about to leave to go to Jerusalem to bring the offerings that he was collecting, mainly among the Gentile churches, to bring to Jerusalem to help the believers there who were struggling with a famine. And Paul actually had never been to Rome yet when he wrote this letter, but he had a special purpose for writing it, and that was to form a partnership with the church in Rome for going further westward to bring the gospel to Spain. So keeping these things in mind, let's read the passage, Romans 15, beginning at verse 17. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. Repeat verse 20, where Paul says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So note that verse. Paul said his ambition was to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. So this evening we'll consider this ambition that Paul had and then his plan to carry it out. Yes, Paul wanted to go to places where no Christian worker had been yet to bring the gospel. And this certainly was very much in line with Jesus' mandate that he gave his disciples. Go, disciple all nations. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so Jesus' disciples went out with fervor to bring the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, to people everywhere, to reach far and wide to the ends of the earth. Now look for a minute at what Paul said just before that, before verse 20 and verse 19. He said, so from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Basically, Paul is saying here, he's kind of painting with very broad brushstrokes and saying that, he has been used by God for the gospel to gain a foothold in the northwestern Mediterranean region from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum. Now, we don't actually read that Paul went to Illyricum. It could be that he did, but it's just not recorded. But more likely, I think he's saying, yes, the gospel has gotten a foothold in this whole region, and where it has been planted, where churches have been planted in major cities, the believers can go and bring the gospel to the rest of their territory. They can go out and be the missionaries to reach the other people in those places. But now he's looking for new territory where the gospel had never even made landfall, and so his ambition was to go to Rome. Now let's see his plan for carrying that out. Paul writes in verses 23 and 24 that he would go to Rome, to the church there, and that they would help him along his way bringing the gospel to Spain. Now, what kind of help did he have in mind? We don't really know for sure. Many think that he would like to make Rome his base, kind of his sending base, for bringing the gospel to the western Mediterranean region, to Spain and other places around there. Just as he had made Antioch his base for his early missionary journeys to Asia Minor, what we know as Turkey today. And so they could provide supplies and funds to help him on his way. I think he probably meant more than that, though. I think he had in mind that when he was in Rome, he would form a team of believers that would actually go with him to Spain to help bring the gospel there. But the point is, he had this passion to reach new territory, to reach people that had not had any opportunity even to hear the gospel. And so through the history of the church over the past 2,000 years, especially in the last few hundred years, Christian missionaries have been working hard to proclaim the gospel, the good news everywhere, on every continent and in every country. So what about now? How are we doing in that task? Surely Christian missionaries have gone everywhere and reached every part of the world, haven't they? After 2,000 years? Well, we know that there are Christians in every country of the world, but yet there are 2 billion people of the world today living in people groups that have virtually no opportunity to hear the gospel. Think about that for a minute. Let that sink in. That's a quarter of the world's population. It's not only that they have heard the gospel and rejected it. In fact, it's not even that they haven't heard, but that they don't even have any opportunity to hear the gospel. There aren't churches for them to go to. There aren't people. There aren't evangelists going and bring the gospel to them. It's no opportunity. So this is a huge task that the church still has that really needs our priority in mission work. Now, the obvious question is why? Why is it that so many people have still not been reached? Well, it's all about waffles. I need a drink to get those waffles down. But, you know, the things that you eat for breakfast, the waffles, you know. What happens when you pour your syrup on the waffle? It gets stuck in those little squares, right? There's those ridges that are, you know, that are blocking the flow of the syrup. And so the syrup can't easily spread around the waffle. Unlike a pancake, when you pour syrup on a pancake, it very easily spreads. And so when you eat a waffle, you end up pouring too much syrup on it and to try to get it in every square, and then you have a blood sugar spike, and you're in trouble. So, in other words, don't eat waffles. But the thing is, that our world is more like a waffle than a pancake. If you would look at a map of Nigeria that would show all the people groups in Nigeria, it would look kind of like a waffle, except that the lines wouldn't be very straight. You see, there are hundreds of people groups in Nigeria, and just because the gospel reaches a country, that doesn't mean that it's going to be able to reach all the people groups in that country. There are barriers between people groups, kind of like those ridges in a waffle that prevent the gospel from easily flowing from one group to another. So there are these people groups. What do we mean by that? Well, there are various ethnic groups. They have different languages, different cultural background, a different history. Some of them may even have hostility toward each other. And those differences present the barriers over which it's difficult for the gospel to flow. We have about 195 nations in the world, but there are thousands of people groups. Now, the people groups that have no Christians, no churches, or very few, we call unreached people groups. And so they need Christian workers coming from outside their group to bring the gospel to them. I'll give you a couple of quick examples. There's the Laki people of Iran. This is an Islamic Kurdish people group. About 1.3 million people, 0% Christian. Evangelism is illegal in Iran, and Islam is deeply ingrained in the Laki people, so it's very hard to reach them. Then there's the Adi Dravida people of India, one of the lower caste groups there. Over 10 million people, 98.8% Hindu, 0.1% Christian. A few Christians, but not enough to really bring the gospel to that group. And according to mission research, there are several thousand of these unreached people groups. And besides the barriers that I mentioned earlier, there are more. Often missionaries are not allowed to go into these people groups. Evangelism may be prohibited. There may be a history of bad experience with Christians among these people. For example, there's been hostility between Muslims and Christians for centuries, going way back to the Crusades and before. And then we would have to admit that there are barriers in us as well that prevent us from going and reaching people. For one thing, we're hardly aware of these people groups. I doubt if any of you had heard of those two groups I mentioned. In fact, I hadn't heard of them until a couple days ago. You could go through a list of unreached people groups and one after the other say, oh, I've never heard of these people. We're not aware, let alone really being concerned about them enough to do something. And then our attitudes. Sometimes we have attitudes of superiority, of racism, or we're simply fearful of these people that are so different from us. And so that's a barrier to us. Besides that, we're very busy becoming successful and affluent and helping our children and grandchildren to become successful and affluent. And so we don't really have enough time to consider this great need. And what I've been mentioning, these are just a few of the barriers. There are even more, and they are formidable. So in other words, these unreached people groups, why haven't they been reached? Well, it's very difficult to reach them. But on the positive side, there are some good developments. More and more mission organizations and missionaries are now targeting reaching these unreached people groups and finding new strategies to reach them. And many of these organizations are working together more than they were before. Also, churches in what we call the Global South or the non-Western countries are now sending out missionaries, many of them going to these unreached people groups. Countries like Brazil, Nigeria, Mexico, China, Kenya, and the Philippines are going out as missionaries. And often they're more effective than white-faced missionaries like myself, especially in these unreached people groups. And another thing that is helping or can help is migration. People are moving all over the world, in case you hadn't noticed. And so this is bringing many people into contact with Christians who have never heard the gospel before. In other words, God is often bringing unreached people to us and to other Christians in other places. There are many immigrants from the Middle East right here in Michigan. So God is providing us opportunities to reach out to them, to reach them with the gospel, and by building bridges, like helping them get settled in their new country. So how should we respond to this great need? We have to be convinced we must prioritize that. Did you notice in the reading we did earlier that Christ is the only way of salvation? There is no other way. These people need the good news, and God deserves the praise and worship of people, of every person in the world. So I have 6 points on ways that we can respond to this great need. Number one is a credible witness. I'm talking about the witness of not only our words, but our lives. Many Christians are not really actively following Jesus in the way they live, and that presents a bad witness to the world. People look at those who are not Christians that are not living it out and say, no, I don't want to be like them. And so we need a witness in our lives that will draw people to Christ. Number two is awareness. We need to learn about the mission needs, especially about these unreached people groups. And there are many ways to do that. I would love to share with you how you can learn about them and be enhanced in your understanding about them. And one very important way to do that is to be sure to attend when our missionaries come and visit LaGrave. We have a missionary couple coming next Sunday evening, Jeff and Julie Bauman, who have been serving in Hungary. Be sure to be there. These are the people that are out there working in missions. And so it's a great opportunity to learn. Don't miss these opportunities. Number three is prayer. God works in answer to prayer. And so as we start learning about the great needs as well as opportunities, I encourage you to focus on several people groups, several missionaries, and to pray in a very regular, focused, intentional way for these missionaries and the people that they're trying to reach to experience, to see God working among them. Prayer does great things, and we all can pray. Number four is sending and supporting mission workers. We do that well here at LaGrave. We support more than 40 missionaries and ministries. I'm very thankful to be part of a mission-minded church. Let's remember that sending and supporting missionaries is not only providing funds, not only giving money, and not only praying once in a while, but it's really supporting them with encouragement, with letters, with emails, communicating with them, encouraging them in various ways. So I encourage you here too. Maybe choose a few of the missionaries that our church supports and get to know them, actually. Get to know their needs. Read their updates and newsletters and pray regularly for them. The fifth is local outreach. There are people right around us, even though perhaps they've had opportunities to hear the gospel, but there are many people around us, people we know that don't know Christ. We must reach them. How can we go out and reach people across the world if we're not also faithful in reaching people right around us? We need to do both. And then finally, the response is to go. It's going. And I want to encourage you, especially those who are on the younger side, to really consider going in missions, going to an unreached people group, going to people that don't know the Lord, and at least giving some of your life to reaching out to others. You will not regret it. As for me, I'm 65 years old, and I would guess that a few of you are also. I'm older than 65. Did I say I'm 65? I'm older. And maybe a few of you are too. It's not too likely that we're going to go out and learn a new language or immerse ourselves in a culture that we've never been used to before, or to go in a remote place. But there's a lot that we older Christians can do, both locally and abroad, in service to Christ and His mission. Prayer is a big one. We all can pray. And once again, we need to do that very intentionally, faithfully, consistently. We also can motivate younger Christians to serve in missions. And so as we learn about missions and the needs, let's talk about it with the younger generation and challenge them to really consider missions. About 25 years ago, fellow missionaries of ours in the Philippines were bringing the gospel to an unreached people group there. They were a tribal people that lived up in the mountains, and so they would go up and talk to them. And they found they had a chieftain who communicated with demonic spirits. And every year, once a year, this chieftain would make a blood sacrifice to atone for the wrongs that the people had done against each other. But they also believed that someday a Savior would come, and then they would no longer need to make these sacrifices. So our missionary friends went to them and started telling them, well, the Savior has come. And so they talked specifically to one elderly lady and said, the Savior has come. And she said, He has. Well, who is He, and when did He come? And they said, Jesus, 2,000 years ago. And this lady responded, 2,000 years ago? Why didn't anybody come up the mountain and tell us? They had not heard. And she was angry. She did receive Christ, and many others did. But they were waiting, and there was a bit of anger there that no one had previously come up to bring the gospel to her. In a few minutes, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. Think of it this way: all Christians all over the world gathered around one big table with Jesus, giving thanks to him for giving his life for us. But there are many people missing from this table, and not just individuals, but whole people groups are missing. They need to hear the gospel and join us at the table. And it's not just because they've rejected Christ. They have not even yet been invited. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we are amazed that you give to us this great task of announcing the good news of your salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the work that has been done. We thank you for the millions of Christians around the world. Yet there is so much yet to do. And we confess that we are not always faithful in that task. So, Lord, we pray that you will mobilize us to be active in serving you. We pray that you will open the hearts of those who have not been reached to make them ready to hear the gospel. We pray that you will provide the bridges by which those barriers can be overcome, and that the gospel will reach them, that they will respond in faith. This is our prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
as we celebrate at the table tonight, and if you are visiting with us, you are welcome to join us if you normally partake at your home church. We will celebrate by intinction tonight, which means you will be excused to come forward. You will take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and then eat. We will have three stations available, one in the middle and two just a little bit off to the sides. As you're coming down the center aisle, if you're on this side, go either to the middle or to the side on your right, the station on your right, whichever is open. And if you're on this side of the aisle, go either to the middle or the station on your left. If you need gluten-free elements, they are available at both of the side stations, but you do need to request it. Also, if you have difficulty coming forward, that's okay. Stay where you are, and an elder will be roving about, and he will bring the elements to you.
Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving, the responsive reading in the bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right for us to give thanks and praise.
With joy we praise you, gracious God, for in your great love, out of nothing, you created heaven and earth and everything in them. You made us in your image and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin.
We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his life, death, and resurrection opened to us
Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, 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 Lord God, of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Let us continue to pray. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said to his disciples, Take and eat. This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he said, This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Friends, these are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thank you. Would you join me in the response of praise that you find in your order of worship? Praise the Lord, O my soul.
All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not
all his benefits.
Who forgives all your sins
and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit
and crowns you with love and compassion.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
You receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
Receive these words of Jesus as both a blessing and a mandate. Go, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all that I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace through our Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.